Morning.
Morning.
Morning. Just let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we commit this word to you, Lord Jesus. May it be spoken in power and truth. May it not be man's word, but your words, Lord Jesus. And I pray, Lord, that myself and brothers and sisters here and anyone listening to it, Lord, will have listening ears and be open to what you're saying. And may the word have power in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So this morning's message is entitled Walking Worthy as the Elect of God. Walking Worthy of the Elect of God. If you've become a Christian, if you sort of surrendered your life to God, first of all, you get to call him king, you belong to his family, but you become elect, you become a saint, you become elect of God. Isn't that an amazing thing? But also, once you become an elect, there's a sort of journey, there's a road map how you're supposed to walk. And today is all about, are we walking worthy as an elect of God? And today we'll be looking at Colossians. And before we do, it was just interesting as we were singing about king and, you know, God's got so many facets, hasn't he? He's got his hope, got his love. But one thing which we never lose sight of is the fear of the Lord. It's so important. You know, in Ephesians 5:21, it talked about the early church submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. And if you Google fear of the Lord in one of these Bible gateway type search engines, there's so many texts around the fear of the Lord. I just picked out a couple. Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, to turn away from the snares of death. And finally, Proverbs 19:23, the fear of the Lord leads to life, and he who has it will abide in satisfaction. He will not be visited with evil. We shouldn't lose sight of that. Are we fearing the Lord today? Amen. So in Colossians, which we'll study in shortly, this is written by Paul. It's believed that he wrote it when he was imprisoned in Rome. And in particular, the first two chapters of the whole sort of book, real letter, is around Paul writing to the church in Colossae to try and get a message across to them about false teaching. They were getting snared by Gnosticism and all this sort of heresies in there, and the true gospel, the true word was getting mixed up. And Paul was writing to them to say, watch out. And he gave them lots of instructions, in particular chapter 1 and 2. And today the same warnings apply, don't they? Might not be specifically those warnings, but they are relevant today. But all sorts. We should be mindful of the Antichrist teaching. So what's the Antichrist teaching? That's anything which is opposing the word of God, which is false, is from the pit. And the world is polluting the word of God, isn't it? It's bringing in lots of different religions. Today is all about whatever you want. You know, you go for your personal sort of walk, your own personal journey. There's all sorts of mysticism nowadays, and it's all about spirituality. And we can be mindful about those sort of things creeping into the church. And there are so many opportunities, aren't there, for us to compromise our walk with God, either knowingly, either you do it on purpose, or unknowingly. You don't even realise you're doing them, isn't it? It's, you know, we live in this world, don't we? But it said, the word says we don't live of the world. So we're not the same. As Jim said, we're almost like aliens. We're on a pilgrimage. But if you're in this world and you're consuming yourself with the world, what's on the TV, what your friends are saying, what you're listening to, what you're watching, what you're doing, that's almost the same as what Paul was warning about. It can creep into your life. And a little bit of the gospel in the mix of pollution doesn't mean that, you know, it just becomes all polluted. Amen? So we just need to be mindful of that. And it's interesting, in chapter 1 of Colossians, Paul was, he was writing them, and it was almost a church needing to mature to remove its weaknesses. But the church wasn't all bad, it had good qualities. And, you know, in verses In the beginning of chapter 1, it talks about Paul praising God for the church's faith, the church's love, and the love in the Spirit. So here's a church which is full of faith, love of the fellow brothers, and love in the Spirit. However, you know, they could have sat back and thought, we're all right, worry about someone else, God. Paul write a letter to somebody else. But no, Paul was writing a letter to them, specifically saying, you know, praise God for those qualities, but you've got some weaknesses. And if you're a listening and active church, you'll respond to those weaknesses. And those weaknesses were, they were getting caught up in this sort of false doctrine, and they were getting confused and blown away about it. As you know, this church is going through this faith venture, aren't we? Praise God, we beginning of the year, I think it was, or back in the last year, we thought it was right to extend this building. And but we thought, let's get on our knees and pray and see what God's voice was saying in this matter. There's a really important chapter of this church's life, almost. And it was very clear as we were praying and fasting that God, first of all, was more interested in the sort of spiritual aspect of this church, how it was operating, rather than bricks and mortar. Yes. Praise God, we will believe that God's going to extend this building. In his perfect timing, we will have an extended building. But God's less interested in that. He's more interested in the church being totally right for him, moulded in his image.
Yes.
And that's what he's doing. And you know, we had that passage which was brought to two or three people, you know, in Exodus, where chapter 32 to 36, that where the Moses on the mountain with God, and the Israelites were getting a bit restless, and they did what they normally do when they sort of looked to the world and made Aaron build a calf, and we all know what happened. And Moses came down and cleared out all the sin, and the people, the remnant, was sort of said, right, we're going to really repent. And then the tabernacle was built. Amen. And it's almost similar to what God's doing here. He's sort of saying, there's some really good qualities this church. Amen. It is a loving church. Praise God for it. But we're not perfect by any means, are we? He's pruning. And that's a sign of a loving God. If he wasn't interested, that's not a heavenly father, is it? So sometimes it's might be a little bit uncomfortable, but it's good when God's interested and wants to prune. So, you know, we can use the letters from Paul and the Israelites' journey as a sort of reference point for us and how to respond. And it must be about a year and a half ago, we had this little sports games in London, the Olympics, didn't we? And I just want to use a little analogy. You know, the whole point of the Olympics was, or one of them, Lord Coe kept going on about legacy, didn't he? And, you know, all these, justify all these millions of pounds. And it was a great show, I must admit. But he kept saying every time you listen to him on the interviews, you know, this is about inspiring the young generation. Now let's just imagine that worked. We've got two or three people, maybe a little boy or a girl at school, who saw that Olympics and thought, yes, I want to do it. And they both knew they were good athletes. They thought, I'm pretty quick. Beat my mates to the bus stop every day. I must be pretty quick. And they enter the school sports day and they win their race. And their sports teacher thinks, hey, this young boy, this young girl's got talent. We're going to foster it. So they put him in a sort of trial for the local area. And they win that as well. And the sports teacher was very excited because the big head coach of the whole Olympics team was there. And he spotted these two children. And he came up to them and said, you've got talent, genuine talent. Do you want to be the best? Do you want that Olympic gold medal in Rio or the next Games? And they said, yeah, we do. We want to be the next Usain Bolt, Jess Ennis. So the coach says, the big coach said, okay, well, I'm a busy man, I can't be with you all the time. I'm going to give you a clear set of instructions, and you have to do it every day. And the school teacher was really good. He said, I'm going to clear my diary, I'm going to look after you two, I'm going to do whatever he says, I'll be there for you every day. And this man gave them special tasks to do every day, jumps, stretches. And he said, if you do that, and I come back in a year's time, I think you will be heading for a gold. But talent's not anything. You have to do what I say. But you can't deviate from it. You have to literally do. Even if you've got a cold one day, you have to do it. So in a way, those two children had three options, didn't they? They could either just be nothing, idle and do nothing and say, well, you know, I like the gold medal, but I like chilling out with my friends. I like playing the video game, so I won't do it. Or they could try and twist their sports teacher's arm and say, well, I'll only do half of it. Let's have both Thursday and Tuesday off. How about that? Or they can say, I want that gold. I'm going to do it every day to the letter. Now, if you were that boy or girl, what do you think you would do? If you really wanted that gold, what would you do? That man came back a year's time. What would you do to get that gold? And that sort of principle, same applies when we hear the word of God. You know, if you aren't a Christian and you don't know God today, and you hear the word of God, you've heard Jim's prayer, and if, you know, let's just turn to John 3:16, a very simple, very well-known verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whoever believes in him should not perish, and everlasting life. Amen. That simple gospel message is saying, if you believe in Jesus, and you acknowledge he's a saviour, and you turn away from your sin, you'll have everlasting life. And we all have a choice when we listen to that. If you don't know God, if you listen on the tape, whatever, you have a choice with those athletes to either say, don't believe it, I'll sort of semi-believe it, or I'm going to fully believe it. But really, there's only two options. You either believe it or you don't. And it's the same when if you're a Christian, you hear the word of God spoken at the home, in your own private study, or at church, you have that sort of simple option, really, to either fully heed it or not. And my prayer is that I and yourself follow those instructions. So today we're going to be studying Colossians 3 and a bit of 4. And it's, acknowledge there's quite a lot packed in there. But I really believe this sort of passage, which was written to the church of Colossae, is almost like a blueprint for how we're supposed to live as the elect of God. It's clear instruction. You know, sometimes we're Christians, we're always searching for the next best thing and the newest bestseller book in the Christian bookshop. You know, how to improve my life. But you can't get away from the Word of God. That is the best thing to read. And sometimes it is simple as what we're going to read. It's not overcomplicated. You know, praise the Lord. Yes, there's some deep truths in the Word, and let's seek them. But the basic fundamentals of the Word is simple. Praise God, because if it wasn't simple, I wouldn't be able to understand it. So it is the blueprint for Christian war. And it's exciting, because all those who turn to God, as I said before, we are the elect of God. We're no longer orphans. As I said before, we live on this earth, but we don't have to do the things of the earth. And we don't have to do it on our own strength. That's what the sort of Pharisees do, or religious people do. They try and do all these rules on their own strength, and always happens, they fall flat on the face. We have a helper, amen? So my main point today is, are we actively seeking and putting the word of God into practice? And are we seeking to be living as the elect of God? And I think the really important point is, it doesn't just happen by autopilot. And this is, as I sort of grasp this, it's becoming more and more, the penny's dropping for me. I think sometimes you become a Christian, you think, I'm a Christian now, I'm going to do all these wonderful things God's told me to do, and it's just going to be plain sailing. But no, I think that's almost been lazy and a dormant Christianity. You have to seek it, and it's active. And let's just read the passage, and it'll come clear. So we're going to read Colossians chapter 3 to 4, up to verses 6. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things of the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil, desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon you, the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now yourselves are to put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of the mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who has renewed knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Whether there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is in all and in all. Therefore, as elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness and long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must also do so. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of God of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter towards them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleases, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done. There is no partiality. Masters, give your bondservants what is just and fair, knowing what also you have a master in heaven. Finally, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us, that God would open the door to the word, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may manifest as I ought to speak, walking wisdom towards those who are outside, redeeming the time, and let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to ought to answer each one. That's the word of God. Amen. So what I was saying before, a Christian war, I don't think it should be an autopilot. You know, we should be active, not doers. These things just don't happen. And I've just taken some examples there. You know, Paul, when he writes, he's really emphasising the doing active words, the verbs. And I've just got some examples. So verse 1, if you are raised with Christ, the action word here is seek those things which are above. Verse 2, set your mind on things above, not on the earth. In verses 5 and 8 it says, put off death, put off all these things, anger, wrath, malice, etc. Verse 10, put on the new man. Put on tender mercies, kindness. Let the peace of God. That's a doing word, it's allowing something. Let, in verse 15 and 16. Let the word dwell in you richly. Verse 17, do all in the name of the Lord. You know, and if you read Paul's letters, it's not just Colossians, it's all of them. So in Galatians 5, verses 25, Paul instructs, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And for me, that sums up the whole point of this message. If you live in the Spirit, walk in it as well. Ephesians 6, 11, put on the full armour of God. You know, all those examples are emphasising doing, aren't they? You know, you wake up in the morning, you don't just suddenly have your suit and tie on for work, or your clothes for going on the construction. So you have to do it, don't you? And if we're active doing the things of this earth, we should be even more active doing the spiritual things, shouldn't we? And the devil is more than happy if you can hear and understand and recite the word of God if you're dormant and not active. He's more than happy. You know, some scholars out there are potentially reel off every single page of the Bible, but if they're not doing it and being active in it, the devil is just great, you know. The Lord would rather have maybe you just hold on to a few verses, but you actually live them out every day. So that don't be ever feel that if you know the Word of God, that you're okay, you should be actively doing. And we don't have to do it in our own strength, do we? Jesus gave us a simple model prayer. And one of the verses is, please give me my daily bread. Now, God will, if you pray, please give me the daily provisions of my life. It might be physical, but I think he'll honour the prayer even more if it's, Heavenly Father, please give me the ability to walk in the Spirit today. Please help me to put off my old self. Please help me to walk in the Spirit and bear the fruit of God. That's a simple prayer, and I'll admit, it's only recently I've started praying that, because I was being dormant, to be honest. You know, we need to be saying that. Don't get legalistic about it and say, no, I haven't said it today, oh no. But just, that should be in our heart. God has said he'd honour our prayer. Whatever you ask in his name, he'll give it to you. And that's something which I believe he'll honour. So I just want to pick out six key points from the passage we just read. I'm just conscious of time. We may have to come back to this in more depth. And simple instructions for our Christian walk. First is, set your mind on things above, not on the earth. And Paul echoes this in Philippians. He talks about our citizenship is in heaven. Yes. You know, what is the centre of our focus? What we're channeling all our thoughts on today? And I think our thoughts and our mindset determine our footsteps and our actions, don't they? Our thoughts and mindset determine our actions and our footsteps. If we're constantly thinking about how am I going to make the next book, by constantly thinking, how am I going to get the next entertainment, whatever, or that will dictate our energies. If we're setting our things up heavenly, well, what is your will today? That will hopefully dictate our footsteps. Are we seeking God's voice? Are we laying down our own agendas and having that heavenly perspective? The second point is, put to death your members which are on the earth. In other words, put to death sin. If you're a Christian, we're still human beings. We sometimes succumb to sin. Praise God, he's gracious and he forgives. If you don't know God, he gives you clear examples of what detests him, which is simple things. Verses 5 to 9. Put to death your members on the earth. Fornication, uncleanliness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. But now yourselves put off all these things: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language. Do not lie. And this is echoed in Galatians. This might be uncomfortable hearing. You might think, well, I don't really want to listen to this. I'd rather listen to God is love. But this is the truth. You know, if we've got to hear it, brothers and sisters. For the flesh lusts against the spirit. Now, the works of the flesh are evident: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Now, you might not be reveling in all those things, but one or two, although you maybe have a weakness in one of those areas. Pray that God will make it clear to you. But we're not under law anymore, are we? In Galatians says we're not under the law. As elect of God, we don't have to do those things in our own strength. If you're a Christian, you don't have the worry, how am I not going to sin like that anymore now? How am I not going to do it anymore now? As we'll come to in a minute, God is our helper. Romans 8, I won't read all of Romans 8, but I encourage you to do so. It says we're free from indwelling sin. There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in the Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit is life in Christ Jesus, and he has made us free from the law of sin and death. You're no longer bound to it. If you're a Christian, that's what's amazing. If you're a Christian, follow God, he will free you from those sinful aspects. And again, there are practical things you can do. If we have a weakness in a sinful area in our life, we can share with an elder, someone who's a leader at the church, you can share and they'll pray for you. Get a prayer partner, speak to them, pray. But again, the most important thing we should do is turn to God. Again, go back to the model prayer. Please forgive me. And lead me not in temptation. You know, just start the day. Please forgive me what I've done and please help me through today. And I can't do it in my own strength, but I know I can get through today without sinning in your strength. That is a simple prayer. Amen. Repent and put on the armour of God. As I said, so you don't have to be a sinner. Number three is, so we've got, set your mind on things above. Put to death the flesh. Number three is spirit-led living. Walk in the spirit and you'll not fulfil the lust of the flesh. Amen. And the fruit of the spirit is love, joy, peacefulness, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And all those things echo what Paul has written in Colossians. Put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. Saying put on, walk in the Spirit. It's a doing thing. Verse 13 is an important thing, church. We're going to be a unified church, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. Even as for Christ forgave you, you must also do so. We are humans. Sometimes we bicker. Couples, husband and wife may bicker. Families may bicker. Christian brothers and sisters may bicker. Do not give the devil a foothold. The flesh will think, I'm bunkering in, it's her fault, his fault, I'm not going to give in. I want a bed, I want to sleep in a spare room. That's what the devil wants to do. He'll have a foothold then. What the elect of God says, God, help me redeem the situation. Help me forgive. Help me to make this situation whole again. And I encourage you, if you're ever in that situation, no matter how uncomfortable it is or painful, pray to God and he'll help you. It takes a really big, powerful man or woman of God or boy or girl, almost like David confronting that giant, to go up to someone and say, you've hurt me there, brother, or I'm sorry. That takes a real man or woman of God. And the world does not teach you to do that. The world is opposing that. It's like, oh, I'm going to dig in and show that person a lesson with revenge. It takes real power of God to be meek and humble. But it pleases God, and there's power in it. Amen? Encourage you if you're in that situation. And if you ever want someone speaks to you, try to say, this is the situation. Advise them, go straight to that person. Make it right with them. The Lord is our helper. Anything's possible for Christ our helper. In John chapter 14, Jesus is saying, if you love me, keep my commandments. I'll pray the Father and he'll give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it is neither sees nor hears him. But you know him, for he dwells in you and will be in you. Amen. That is the helper. We don't have to do things in our own strength as elect of God. We have the Spirit, we have God in us to help us. Finally, three other points. What Paul's writing, holy living, what I'm calling. In chapter verses 16, it says, let the word of God dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts, and whatever you do, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. And later on in verse 2, chapter 4, it says, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. There are simple things, holy living. We've got an opportunity this week, prayer breakfast, if you can make it. That's just doing what the Word of God says, praying earnestly. Letting the Word dwell in you richly, teaching one another in songs. It's just amazing, isn't it? And you might think, well, that sounds all right. But are we doing it, church? Are we doing it? Are we doing it every day? Are we doing those things every day? That's the question I ask myself. Am I doing that every day? And holy living will prevent us falling in the trap of compromise. It'll edify the body, it'll bless each other, and it'll bless the Lord. It's got fruit. Do all things in the name of the Lord, giving thanks. Second to last one, living as salt. That passage between 18 and 25 just epitomizes the complete opposite of what the world is about today. Living as salt is a polar opposite. Wives submitting to your husbands. You know, pick up the Daily Mail, whatever, today it's saying, you know, be a strong woman and this is how to do it and watch the soap, it's all around, you know, women rising up. Yes, women's got a place, but it says, wives, submit to your husbands. And likewise, husbands, love your wives. You know, the world is giving the wrong education to non-Christians. You know, it's saying, treat your wife like a muck, call them the wife, and all this sort of stuff. It's just, this piece of scripture is completely opposite to the world. And if we live like this, it will be different. We'll stand out. We will be salt. Children obeying their parents, that is a rare thing nowadays. You know, it takes a lot of hard work to rear your kids up to, you know, obey your ways. But laziness creeps in, convenience, you know, and you see it. Are we living as salt? If you're a boss, are you being honourable to your team, to your employees? Likewise, if you work for someone, are you paying the lip service? Are you slagging them off at the staff room? Are you cutting corners when they're not looking? God's clearly showed us what we're supposed to do. And finally, saving souls. Paul's heart, you can see it in verses 3. Now, if it's true where he wrote this, he's in prison. This is what scholars think. He wrote this when he's in prison. It doesn't finalise, he doesn't sort of wrap up the prayer saying, please pray that I get out of these chains. Please pray that I get released. He's saying, continuously in praying, being vigilant with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also that God would open the door for the word, open us the door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, which I'm also in chains. So his prayer is saying, give us an opportunity. That was on his heart, to preach the gospel to the lost. And in Mark 16, it reads, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. And we should be taking that instruction from the Jesus and have that heart for the lost. And if we haven't, if I haven't, we should be praying, God, please give me the heart for the lost. Because we know their consequences. And just going back to the instruction around putting to death sin, there are clear consequences, aren't there? If we continue to walk in the flesh, if we continue to walk in opposite God's ways, there'll be condemnation, there'll be death. That's a big, powerful thing, isn't it? But there'll be fruit and blessing if we follow the God's ways. I know which I prefer. So, as we wrap up and conclude, are we happy being comfortable? Are we being dormant? Are we cosy and comfortable in our Christian walk? Am I? Are we actively seeking and putting the word into practice? And are we living as the elect of God? Are we actually benefiting from living as elect of God, as God wants us to? Are we drawing on God's strength, God's power? And finally, Acts 9, verses 31 says, talking about the early church, they are walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. The fear of the Lord, walking in the Spirit, they were multiplied. Action, fruit. That's what God simply wants us to do. He wants us to be doers, and the fruit will come. And I hope we can just dwell on what's been spoken today. I hope I dwell on it, and God will stir that word up. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you love us so much, Lord, that you stuck to your promise and you didn't abandon us as orphans, Lord. You sent your Holy Spirit, Lord, to dwell in us, to call on your name, to give us power to live a life as the elect of God. And we thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, I just pray you'll help each one of us, Lord, to live that life as an elect member of your family, Lord. Help us, Lord, and forgive me, Lord. Forgive us where we've compromised, where we've got lukewarm, where we've almost come dormant or in reverse gear, where we haven't heeded your instructions, Lord. I pray, Lord, you'll give us, equip us to walk that narrow path you've called us to do so, Lord. And Lord, we just thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your forgiveness. As we've read this morning, we thank you, Lord, for the gift of salvation. And anyone who doesn't know you, Lord, who may have heard this sort of type of message before, I just pray, Lord, that your Spirit will just speak to them and bring conviction. And may they just, their eyes be open to your love. Pray for that, Lord Jesus. Just pray, Father God, we'll be a living, active church. We'll be doers of your church, heeding your voice. And we pray, Lord, we seek the fruit to come, the harvest. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen.